Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, April 26th, 2010, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
I know you, don't I? I'm usually very good with names, but I'll be damned if I haven't forgotten yours.
Well, I can see where that's possible because I'm only your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. After the last couple of weeks of nothing but Q&A, I am so happy to get back to the Erotic Mind podcast series. And boy, do I ever have an exceptionally charming and, I might add, smutty guest for you today. I'm delighted to welcome Heidi Champa to the show. Today, we travel to the wilds of South Central Pennsylvania to spend some time with Heidi in her natural habitat. We discover that lurking behind her mild-mannered and unassuming exterior, there is an erotic powerhouse. We also discover that she is just hitting her stride as a published author. So look out, world! Which only reinforces my belief that hidden in all of us is a creative erotic impulse that once let loose will transform us and our world. Exciting stuff, this, sex fans.
Look, I have had just about enough of you.
Oh my God, and the show is just beginning. Listen, to show you what I mean, Heidi will read a tantalizing selection from the fruit of her erotic mind. It'll make you want to touch yourself impurely, I promise. Heidi also invites you to visit her on her website, HeidiChampa.blogspot.com, and she's on Facebook too, don't you know? Look for Heidi Landis Champa.
Super, super, fabulous. Isn't it nice?
Today's podcast is once again brought to you by our friends at AdultSexToys.com. You'll find all the quality name brands like Fleshlight, Lilo, Tantus, and Fun Factory at AdultSexToys.com. But here's the amazing thing about our sponsor. They make you a promise. They will not be undersold. That's right. They guarantee the lowest price on the net. And who has money to burn at times like these? Now, isn't that precisely the kind of competitive edge that you are looking for in an online retailer? I know I am. But that's not all. At AdultSexToys.com, you don't pay sales tax. That's right, sex fans. They pay the freaking taxes for you. Still not convinced AdultSexToys.com is the place to shop? How about if I tell you that they are currently offering a free shipping promotion and free gifts just for the asking? I'm telling you, people, you can't beat these deals with a stick.
Please don't let me stand in your way. The last thing I want to be remembered as is an annoying blabbermouth.
Well, you're an annoying blabbermouth, so let me finish this. Look for the handsome AdultSexToys.com banner in the sidebar of my site and pay them a visit. You'll soon be convinced, as I am, that they are some kind of wonderful. Okay, on with the show. So welcome, Heidi, and thank you for joining us. It's so great to have you here for this Erotic Mind podcast. I realize that it's been a long time in coming, so I want to thank you for your indulgence and perseverance.
Oh, no problem at all. Thank you.
Now that you're finally here, would you like to say hello to the nice people?
I would love to. Hello, nice people.
Yeah, they are nice people, generally speaking, except the pervy ones. And, well, they're pervy, and they're nice, too, in a pervy sort of way.
I was going to say, there's nothing wrong with that. That's great, too. Welcome. Welcome, everyone.
So I've been enjoying your website, HeidiChampa.blogspot.com, and I love how you punctuate your postings with all that delicious eye candy. Is there a method to your madness, so to speak?
Sort of. It actually started out in solidarity with the ladies of Erotica Cover Watch.
Ah.
It was Christina Lloyd and Matilda Madden had put up this site to bring to light the fact that there aren't a lot of hot men on the covers of erotica books.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. Because I agreed with them wholeheartedly. So They started every Monday doing something called Man Candy Monday.
Oh, how cool.
And I jumped on board immediately as I thought it was a brilliant idea. So every Monday I started joining in to their cause.
Okay,
and actually, they've they've done quite well. There's been a great increase from none, or no covers, I should say, with men on them to actually several.
Right.
I know Excite Books has joined putting men on their covers, and so they've made excellent progress, actually.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, that women consume a great deal of erotica, and wouldn't it be grand for women to see the object of their desire, at least, you know, the straight and bi women?
I agree, and I always thought it was kind of strange that, you know, I go to a Borders or a Barnes & Noble, and I pick up an erotica book, and it's for primarily a heterosexual audience, and maybe even geared specifically towards women, and there's another woman on the cover. So I thought it was a brilliant idea, and I did my small part by finding and collecting hot men to put on my blog. And it was very popular with everyone, but one person in my life, it's actually my niece's husband, always, like, every time he would come to my blog, he's like, there's always naked men on your blog. And I was like, well, just avoid Monday and you should be all right. So,
I was thinking that, you know, it's for as progressive an industry as, you know, like the erotica industry, sometimes it's not all that progressive in terms of the imagery, you know, like on covers and stuff like that. Is that your experience as well?
I think it varies widely, but I do think there is this overarching attitude of kind of status quo with keeping covers. You don't want to alienate anyone, I think, is a large part of the issue.
Right.
And if the book sells as it is, I think they're loath to change that.
Right.
Lest the sales drop or that something would change on that front. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of beautiful covers out there that feature women.
Yes. Oh, no doubt. Absolutely.
I don't have a problem with most of them, but there, I think a little diversity would definitely be in everybody's benefit.
Right.
Just spice things up a little bit.
Right.
I think it would definitely be great.
You know, well, probably you know that I do a lot of product reviews and adult toys and blah, blah. And so one of the things that I've noticed over the years is that the imagery on the, you know, the boxes or the packaging can be really off-putting for a lot of people, you know, oftentimes even the target audience. And, you know, like big-breasted women, you know, in very seductive poses, you know, in dancer heels and stuff like that, that really trite, you know, pornographic kind of imagery.
Yes.
Not that it's anything wrong with that, except that it's off-putting to a lot of people who might want to consume that product. And there's nothing fetching about that imagery for, you know, gay men, for example, who might want to use that product as well. They would walk right by it, you know, on a shelf because it's nothing that's, you know, recognizable to them. So
exactly. I think that's a good point as well. I mean, there's kind of a stereotypical look to some things.
Yeah.
And I know that some arguments against men on book covers, you don't want it to be equated too much with a romance novel where they have like the Fabio guy on the cover, you know, but I think that, I mean, obviously in my brief research online and trying to find, you know, hot men to put on my blog, there's plenty of them out there that don't look anything like Fabio and would, you know, I'm sure, you know, could be persuaded, you know, to be on book covers. So.
Absolutely.
But I definitely think they're, you know, it's good to branch out from that kind of stereotype of, the Pamela Anderson-esque woman.
Right.
Because, the sexuality is so diverse, you don't want to put your product into one basket and then nobody else wants to look at it either.
Right.
So
it's so true. So a good portion of the imagery on your site is also homoerotic. Is there a purpose to that?
Yes and no. I mean, it didn't start out that way. Like, I didn't actively seek it out. Unfortunately, in my search for pictures, fortunately, depending on how you look at it, a large number of the places where I could find these pictures were, blogs geared towards gay men.
Yes.
Or that dealt predominantly with images, for a gay male audience.
Right.
And I would, you know, luckily for me, they're out there, so I could find and, you know, borrow these pictures from my blog as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
once I started making the transition to writing male-male erotica, I started incorporating more pictures with more than one guy in them on my blog to kind of reflect that transition in my
Right. I should send you a bunch of stuff from Daddy-O Productions, my video production company. I've got some really great male imagery that would make terrific eye candy that only you would have.
That would be fabulous. I'm always looking for new sources. I owe a great debt of gratitude to these guys who put these blogs together.
Oh, I know. They must spend their entire life doing that because, you know, it's fresh and new every single time you visit.
It's great. I love it.
So on your Facebook page, you say of yourself, "I'm a smut peddler." I love that.
I did too. I thought it just said it all, really. Uh-huh. I thought it kind of was simple and to the point.
Exactly that.
You know, so, smut covers all manner of sins, so yes, I think it...
Right. So why did you choose the word smut? And should a nice girl like you be saying naughty things like that?
Well, thank you. I'm very nice on the one hand, but I don't know how nice... I am. Overall.
On the other hand,
like I said, I just think it covers everything.
It does.
I think it kind of is all inclusive.
It's one of my favorite words. Absolutely.
I love it. I love it so much. And I think we kind of, or sometimes, can get bogged down in the difference between like porn/erotica and what.
We're going to talk about that later too. But yes, absolutely. So, and you know, and smut really covers, as you suggested just a moment ago, a multitude of sins. You know,
exactly.
it covers everything from, you know, the really romantic erotica to, you know, hardcore kind of stuff. And
exactly. So I thought, you know, I wanted to include as many people as possible, and you know, and it kind of cuts right to the chase, and there's really no question about what I'm doing.
And did you know that smut is Tums spelled backwards?
No, I never thought about it. There you go.
Every time I see a Tums commercial, I just go, you know, now Tums is smut spelled backwards.
Now I will too. I don't think I'll look at it the same way.
Yes, let's pollute the airways with, you know, perverse kinds of things like this.
Exactly.
So tell me, how many publications, hard copy and web-based, have you out there?
Actually, it's funny. I just did a little bookkeeping so I can answer this very question for you. I was like, oh, I better find out because I've kind of loosely kept track. And actually, I kind of surprised myself. I actually have 21 web-based or e-book publications and 21 book or magazine hard copy publications out right now. I have another 16 on the way. Yes.
You're just, like, cranking them out.
Yeah, it's been a good couple of years, I have to say. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So I want to make sure that you know that you're welcome to burst into reading examples of your work at any moment, because talking about the erotic mind is wonderful, but savoring the fruits of that mind's labor is even better.
Okay, I will do that.
Okay.
I'll keep that in mind.
Good. So before we get to discussing erotic art in general and your work in particular, let's talk about you. Is Heidi Ciampa your real name or a nom de plume?
It is my real name. It's actually my married name. So,
so the onerous falls on your poor husband as well.
Yes.
I love it.
It is my real name. I decided... I briefly toyed with an idea of having a pen name, but I just decided to use my real name.
Yeah. And can I ask, did you come up with a pen name, actually?
No, I never did. I never came up with anything that I liked, so I'm like, forget it. I'm just going to use my real name.
I love it. So any complications encountered by writing smut under your own name? Do people point at you in the street and go, there she is, that Scarlet Woman?
I could only hope that people I could be famous enough to have people point at me in the street.
That's great.
No, actually, luckily enough, I am surrounded by wonderful, supportive people, and it has not, as of right now, been a problem, so...
Well, that's great, because I know that you're really well-connected with the erotic authors groups out there, so you know as well as I do that some people cannot write under their real name.
Exactly. I have some very good friends of mine who are also writers who do have pen names for that very reason.
Yeah,
I know you've interviewed Emerald and Jeremy Edwards, just to name two.
Exactly.
People that I know who, you know, operate under a pen name, for various reasons in their lives.
Right.
I do understand it. But luckily for me, I haven't had to worry about it. I mean, it is in this day and age with Google and such, it is kind of the, employment equivalent of a face tattoo.
Yes.
As I like to say, you know, if people want to Google you,
it's
kind of the first thing they find. 'Cause when you Google my name, that's the first thing that comes up.
Yes.
So,
and
it does kind of put you in that position, but otherwise so far it's been very positive.
Yeah. It's funny because I've encountered the same kind of thing, you know, just searching for Richard Wagner PhD, you know, brings up, you know, both Daddy-O Productions and Dr. Dick. And so that, you know, it's really difficult to market oneself to the mainstream if, you know, with those kind of credentials. And
right,
I've heard people say that to me, just go, "You're the most exotic person I've ever met." Well, you need to get out more. So let's begin by getting a brief bio of you. Where did you grow up and where do you live now? And are you in a relationship? We already know that because you said that you have a husband that has the same name as you.
Yes, I do. I grew up in a little town called Telford, Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
It's about 30 miles outside Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Very small town. I lived there until I moved to York, Pennsylvania to go to college.
Uh-huh.
I lived briefly in Maryland before moving back to York, Pennsylvania in 02, and that's where I've been ever since.
Wow. So you're a Pennsylvania gal.
Yes, I am. I'm the youngest of four kids, and I've been married for, actually, in August, it'll be 11 years I've been married.
No kidding.
Yes.
So this is what generates this wonderful monkey love between you and your husband, generates all this fodder for your erotica, right?
Yes. Oh, actually, we've been together. I better say that, actually. He's going to listen to this later.
yeah, talk it up.
Yeah, we've been together since we were 20. So.
No kidding. How sweet.
We got married. I was 22 when we got married, so... Yeah, he's a, you know, a big part of this. He's my number one fan, my biggest supporter. And,
oh, that's so wonderful.
You know, coming from somebody who is actually attending a seminary prep school, he's come a long way, baby.
No
so.
Kidding. What kind? What tradition seminary?
He was actually in a school called St. Joe's in Princeton, New Jersey. It's a Vincentian.
No kidding.
Prep school,
yeah.
So.
You knew that I was a Catholic priest for a long time, right?
Yes, actually, when I was doing a little research.
So do many people in your life know about your erotic work?
I think now I can safely say everyone.
No kidding, really?
Yeah, or 99%.
Uh-huh.
I believe my eldest brother was the last to know, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out at last Thanksgiving. I don't really know why he didn't know before that. I kind of count on my siblings to kind of... pass information along.
That's,
you know,
right. You know, especially juicy dirt.
Yes, I mean, it wasn't like I kept deep or anything. So yeah, now I think I can safely say that like 99.9% of the people in my life know.
And
what
any kind of negative feedback?
Not really. My mom wasn't exactly thrilled in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Necessarily. She was happy that I was actually, you know, because I didn't really tell her until I started to get published.
Right.
But, I mean, she was happy that I had found, you know, something that I really enjoyed and that I was becoming successful at. But I think she's always worried more like in the mainstream,
yes,
like about that negative attention that may come up.
Right.
But she's on board now. I mean, it's been 2 years. She's been on board. So
cool.
She's actually come around quite a little bit, which is good. So
good. So, as you know, the primary reason for doing this series of interviews is to uncover something of the creative process. Are you living the life of a full-time sexual athlete? And if not, what sparks the images that become your erotica, besides the hubby?
Well, like I said, since he's going to be listening, I'll have to say I am
him.
You know, I mean, full-time athlete? No, I mean, maybe, you know, I dabble.
A weekend warrior?
Yeah, there you go. Actually, I mean, obviously we have a very healthy and wonderful sex life, which is a big help to what I do.
No, absolutely.
But yeah, I've always had a good imagination. I like to like explore different types of sexuality. You know, there's so much out there to know and to experience and to find out, that I like to always kind of keep up with that as much as I can.
Right.
And we've always been very, you know, active in our sex life and in exploring, I guess, for lack of a better word, all the different possibilities. So in that way, it's very helpful to me, even though I have been in a committed monogamous relationship for as long as I have.
Wow.
It doesn't have to be a dead end like everyone says it is, so...
No, it does not. And I'm going to pick your brain about that very thing in a bit. But right now, I cannot wait a moment longer. I have to ask you to read something of your work.
Oh, sure, absolutely. The first thing I'm going to read is actually one of the first things that I had published.
No kidding. Good, good, good.
Yes, it's from a collection called Frenzy, which is
60s. Oh, yes, one of my favorite ones.
Yes, Alison Tyler was the very first one to say yes to me, so I figured I would honor her with reading the story from that collection. It's called Lights Out, and I guess I'll just get started.
Good, good, good.
Okay. I flick on the lights and drop my keys. Your head snaps to the left, looking right at me. I've caught you. The moans from the television tell me everything I need to know. Your hand is wrapped so nicely around your hard cock, your pants open and around your ankles. I smile at you, arms crossed. Clearly, you were trying to think of just the right thing to say. You weren't supposed to be home until 10. Sorry, I was done early. You reach for the remote to turn off the video, but I interrupt you. Leave it on. Don't let me stop you. I flick off the lights and settle into the armchair opposite the couch. I can't see the television, but I can see you. You look from me to the screen and back. Unsure, you start moving your hand down your cock, slowly. The blue glow shows me your eyes, looking at me, seeing me stare. I've never watched you before. I like it. Back and forth, your eyes jump between me and the screen. Soon your eyes close, just for a minute. I hear a little grunt come out of your mouth, and your tongue darts across your bottom lip. I settle my hands into my panties, feeling wet from seeing you this way. We move together, your eyes glancing to the television every now and then. Your voice startles me. Come here. I shake my head no and continue what I'm doing. You ease your head back against the couch cushions, digging into the softness. My finger slides into my pussy and I close my eyes. Suddenly the room is still. The television is still on, but the sound has disappeared. I open my eyes and your hand is no longer on your cock. I said, come here. You try to hide the desperation in your voice, but fail. You stare at me. I make you wait a few long seconds before I get up from my chair. I leave my panties on the floor and straddle you. You hike up my skirt, skimming your hands over my thighs. I rest my cunt right above you, the tip of your cock twitching at the bare contact. Your hands slide under my blouse and tease my tits, nipples hard under your thumbs. I sink down, sliding your cock slowly inside. I don't move above you, just feel you pulse. You grab my hips and thrust up into me, hard. I struggle to stay still, letting you move inside me. My shirt is open and I push my nipple into your mouth. Your breath rasps, your teeth scrape over my flesh. I am so close, and you know it. I feel your thumb come to rest on my clit. I push my hips in slow circles. My fingers curl around your shoulders, and I cry out into the silence surrounding us. My cunt squeezes around you. I hear you gasp. I force you deeper, giving myself more. One more thrust, and I feel your cum, hot and sticky inside me. There in the dark, you smile up at me. I trace my finger over your lips. Next time, call if you're going to be early. That's it.
That is, you know, that Frenzy books is one of my favorites. I just absolutely love it. There's nothing better than, you know, like these amazing images and amazing stories being told in, like, how many words is that?
I think it's between 500 and 600. It's very short.
It's very, very short. And it's just so perfect. I mean, it's just absolutely perfect. It's like almost one-handed reading.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I looked at it when I first looked at the call for submission and I saw how short it was supposed to be. I was like, oh, well, then you need to kind of
get on with it
really quickly.
You know, because I'm thinking that a lot of the erotica that I read, I mean, there's all kinds of different kinds. There's, you know, that the much longer kind of almost novella kind of stuff where it's like this intimate dinner that you have with a loved one. And then there's fast food. And I just think that's an amazing kind of thing. I think it's wonderful that people are able to, you know, pounce and also seduce. You know, the seduction takes a whole lot longer than the pouncing does, but it's great. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
So, speaking of that very short thing that you just read, and how do you build the tension, so to speak, in your works of art? Is that one of the shortest ones that you've done? Do you know how long the longest ones are?
Yes, that actually is the shortest thing I've ever written.
Uh-huh.
That is published,
uh-huh.
I should say.
Right.
Depending on what you're writing for, who you're writing for, they usually have a desired length of how many words they want to see.
Right.
I think as of right now, the longest piece that I have published is right around 4,500 words.
Right.
So, which is significantly longer than that, obviously.
Yes.
But they kind of range anywhere between the average. For me is usually between 2,500 and like 4,000 words.
Right.
I don't often write anything as short as that anymore. But again, it depends on the call that what people are looking for.
Right. So is there a method that you use to, you know, put everything that you need to into a petite work of art like this?
Sometimes. I mean, I don't have a set method of how I do it each time.
Uh-huh.
I like to kind of approach everything as a new idea. Or,
right.
The way I kind of look at it, I don't know if it'll make sense to anybody else but me, is I kind of look at it like what I want to do is find out why these two or more people are into each other.
Uh-huh.
And in a shorter piece, I kind of almost like to look at it as like a snapshot of a moment in time between them, since you can't establish all the backstory, you can't establish everything in such a short piece. I kind of like to take it as a snapshot where you know there's more to it, as with any standard photograph, but you want to give people enough information where they get at least some of the idea of why these people would be together in the first place.
Right.
And so I kind of look at it like that. That's just how I do it. I mean, I'd like to include enough information that people can latch on to, but I also like to focus on the more universal quality of what makes any two people want to be together.
Right.
So
I like the idea of the snapshot. I think that's the very first time that has been used in this whole series. I think it's a really great idea because, I mean, even if one is looking at a snapshot, I mean, they're seeing what's in the snapshot, but there are hints, it seems to me, to, you know, a backstory. Like if the snapshot is of somebody at the seashore as opposed to the mountains, I mean, there's you have some information there, or the kind of clothes that they're having on, you know, gives you some idea of the story.
Yeah, I kind of look at it as capturing that moment.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, if you don't have a lot of words to fill in all the details, mm-hmm. you want to make that moment as big and important as possible, so people can get an idea of where you're coming from, without having to put every word on the page of what that means. So, yeah, that's just the way I look at it. I don't know, like I said, if it would work for other people, but I find it very effective for me to kind of take it as a moment in time, and try and capture that as much as I can.
Excellent. So, defining erotic art is difficult, since the perceptions of what is both erotic and what is art fluctuate with time and culture. For example, the depiction of a phallus in some cultures is not erotic, but merely a common symbol of potency and fertility. The same is true about words. Would you not agree?
Absolutely, I do agree. I think that so much of what some people might find erotic to other people, like, mm-hmm. they have absolutely no reaction at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, in when I've done readings of my work in public, like, some people's reaction to a certain word may be very strong, whereas other people have absolutely no reaction whatsoever to, you know, what might be considered a dirty word.
Right.
And I think that is always changing. I mean, obviously, our society used to be very, you know, in the 50s and 60s, and where you didn't hear words like that in public or on TV, and now certain dirty words are on TV every other minute. So it's really, it kind of, and it's true in art too. Like, it, you know, I mean, there was something very erotic about some of the older works of art that were a lot less overt.
Right.
Whereas some art, if it's not subtle enough, you almost feel like they're kind of knocking you over the head with it. So I definitely think it changes. And that's one of the things that makes it great. I think that it's always changing and people can take from it what they want, and some people will see one thing and other people see something completely different.
Right.
And that's, I like that about that.
Right. So I'd like to pursue that, just that thought for just a second here. And that is, in terms of, like you said, when you do readings, there, you can see the reactions of some people. And I try to monitor my own reactions as I'm listening, you know, to the interviewee, like yourself, read. And I notice that if I was wearing some kind of blood pressure kind of thing, you know, while I'm either reading erotica or having it read to me, I notice that, you know, like words like wet, which even in an erotic context has, you know, I mean, it's naughty, in quotes, but when somebody says cunt, that's different altogether. I mean, that really pounds it home, so to speak, as it were. And I have a much more visceral reaction to cunt than I do to wet, interestingly enough.
No, that makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. That's one of those words, I think, for a lot of people, even the, you know, the hardened cynics among
yes.
the group. That's not a word you hear very often.
It's so true.
Usually, I yeah. should say. You know, it's not, it's one of those words that I always kind of think of as like, you don't, like, you're not going to say that to somebody else in just a casual conversation,
right.
usually.
Right.
So it does, it's one of those words that I think still packs more of a punch than even pussy or something like
right.
that, because it's just one of those words that a lot of people can't even bring themselves to say, let alone
right.
to put, you know, out there into a story.
Right.
And, it, you know, to me, it doesn't, it's not a negative word. I know a lot, there are some people out there who look at that as very negative
yeah.
Connotation kind of word, but I like it for its power.
Right.
I use it more for its power.
Right.
And
it's so succinct. I mean, it's like
yeah.
four letters, and, you know, and it has that really hard sound to it, as opposed to pussy, which is more syllables, two syllables, and it's soft with the P's. It sounds different.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's kind of like cock, too. It also
yes,
has that
right.
kind of, like, hard edge to it.
Yeah.
And some people really don't like that word either. But,
yeah.
I like them for the power that they bring.
Yeah.
And also, I find that in some stories, they just fit better.
Right. And, you know, cock also, I mean, that can be a male chicken. And
right.
so you could find cock in the vocabulary of somebody who is not trying to be provocative, but you never going to find the word cunt, you know, in the vocabulary of somebody who is not trying to be provocative. I mean,
exactly.
There's only one use for that word.
Exactly. And I know that, like, I have some friends who live in England and Australia who, they use that word more on a regular basis, but it's always in, like, an insult.
Right.
Or, you know, something like that. So they're used to hearing it, but not
yes.
necessarily in a sexual
yes.
or an erotic kind
right.
of way.
Interesting, so. Interesting, interesting.
So, yeah, definitely.
So this tension between how the vocabulary that we use, that we choose, and, you know, what we power with it, what we empower with it, what we, you know, what we want to take back by using it, because, I mean, cunt is often, you know, a pejorative, you know, reference to a woman that we don't like. She's a
right.
cunt. And yet, in this, in an erotic sense, this is, you know, it's a completely, you know, different kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. That's kind of why I like the word.
Yeah.
Because I don't like it having that negative connotation,
right.
that insult connotation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I find that when I use it in erotica and use it in more of that sexual and sensual and,
yes.
and positive context, I'm hoping that, you know, in some small way it can help people hear it or read it in a way that is not negative.
Right. And besides, I mean, at least in the story that you read for us, that word is being used by a woman.
Right, it's told from the female point of
That's
view.
That's right.
So, that, I think, is important as well, yeah.
Right, right, right. That's very interesting. So, oh my gosh, look at the time. I got to run in my mouth and not asking you all the questions I want. So I've got pages and pages of questions left, and I want to hear more from you. Is it possible for you to come back next week?
Absolutely.
Oh, yay. Will you read for us again?
Sure,
you
no
better,
problem.
Or I will cry for a week. Anyhow, okay. Before you go then, would you give us your website address again and walk us around a bit?
Sure, it is HeidiChampa.blogspot.com. And it's just a blog. I mean, I write about my life a little bit, what's going on with me, and it's a place where you can find all of the links to my books and websites and stories, and you can buy them all.
Oh, yes. That's the most important thing. So we can find your work on your site and buy through your site?
Absolutely. Yes, I have links to everything on my site.
You're wonderful. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for this time today, and we look forward to chatting with you again next week.
Okay, great. Looking forward to it.
Bye now.
Bye.
Hey, great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for part two of my conversation with Heidi Champa and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
I am sorry. Let me make it up to you somehow, huh, please?
How about if you just stand over there and be quiet? Again, this week's podcast sponsor is AdultSexToys.com. Shopping for sex toys is a very personal thing, and not everyone shares the same tastes. That's why AdultSexToys.com carries over 8,000 different adult products, and new items are being added all the time. Not sure what to buy? Check out their bestsellers page. The recommendation section, which can be found at the top of many of their sex toy categories, or simply use the advanced search function to help you find the ideal sex toy for you and or a friend. AdultSexToys.com believes that the world of adult products is best explored in a safe, private, and secure setting. Your own home. What better way to find precisely what you're looking for? And hey, they offer discreet shipping and billing too. Don't miss their hot sale items where you can score their most popular toys for up to half price off. And remember, you never pay sales tax at AdultSexToys.com. Look for their handsome banner in the sidebar of my site and pay them a visit. Tell them Dr. Dick sent you.
Oh, that feels better.
I don't even want to ask. Look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality, or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.